We went out for Anya's birthday on Monday, and the whole point of bringing her passport was so she could have a beer.
Anya's 18 now?
No, she's 16.
And she could have a beer at 16?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Over here, it's 21.
No wonder you lost an empire.
We were all pissed, yeah. Hey, you never did the Scottish any harm.
I have an idea. We'll all walk in a straight row.
Oh, I'm going to wear the same. We're going to wear bright red in a forest, and we're going to march in a straight line. They'll never see us coming.
I don't think they even had licensing laws back then. I think they could drink whenever they wanted. Which probably explains a lot.
And we're going to bang a drum for good measure.
I'm Captain Benjamin Sisko. Welcome to Deep Space Nine.
Red alert! All crew members report to battle stations.
Red alert. Shields up.
What shields?
You Starfleet officers! Now start acting like it!
Oh, it's just Garak. Plain, simple, Garak.
Dax, we might have just discovered the first stable wormhole known to exist.
The wormhole does bring them our way, doesn't it?
Everyone wants a piece of the new frontier.
This will shortly become a leading center of commerce and of scientific exploration. And for Starfleet, one of our most important posts.
Quite a motley crew you've assembled here, Benji.
Listen to The Prophets, a Deep Space Nine podcast.
And here are your hosts, Andrew Leyland, Paul Spataro, and Dr. Bill Robinson.
Bloody hell.
Hello, and welcome to Listen to The Prophets. I'm special guest host David Pascarella, joined by the regular crew.
Paul See, Spataro. I didn't interrupt. Wait, I did right there.
Just
Damn
right
it.
There, yeah. The irony's beautiful.
I'm just wondering what makes Dave think he's special.
I have a certificate from the Department of Education that says I'm special.
What makes you more special than any other guest host? I'm a special guest host. What, do we pay more for you? I don't know.
I have a great head of hair.
He gets paid?
You do have fabulous hair. I got to give you that.
Yeah, about that. We don't talk about the pay because Andy's still going to want his rocket pack.
I've had enough of this not talking about the pay. Every time I bring it up, I'm told we don't talk about each other's pay. That's what led to me, too. I want paying the same rate as everybody else.
Well, we can work that out very easily. We're all getting paid nothing.
Nothing leaves nothing.
If you had a good lawyer, you'd
pay
probably
zero,
get paid better.
Carry that. Oh, yeah, still nothing.
Yep. Anyway.
If you had a better lawyer, you'd probably get paid better. So, okay, I've been introduced. What about everybody else?
Yeah, we've got Paul here, J. David Weeder here, Bill Robinson over there, and introducing Andrew Leyland.
A savic.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that'd be a lot of conflict for me.
What are you talking about? I look great in pointed ears.
Would he be worse than Robin Curtis? I'm not sure.
No. See, Robin Curtis, I didn't like her as much as Savick, but she aged much better than Kirstie Alley.
Everybody aged better than Kirstie Alley.
Yeah, true.
Well, stop picking on Kirstie Alley. You guys are mean people, man.
So do we have any Star Trek news?
I got nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Oh, my loot crate still hasn't come in.
Nada.
We're back on the loot crate watch. Hopefully it's coming by the time the episode comes out. Keep up the good work, Loot Crate.
All right, let's talk about Ferengi love songs then, because I know I can't wait.
She's sexy.
Your mother and I are in love.
I don't believe it.
She's dangerous.
She's as cunning and ruthless as any man.
She's turning Quark's world upside down.
You're in the perfect position to poison their relationship.
Now, to save the Ferengi Empire.
It's a disaster.
Will Quark turn on his own mother?
He knew the truth about the Negus all along.
On the next Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Do you want me to do the synopsis?
Yes.
Go for it.
Okay. Ferengi love songs originally aired on April 21st, 1997. Depressed over his lot in life, especially being blacklisted by the Ferengi Commerce Authority, Quark goes to his homeworld of Ferenginar for some comfort from his mother, Ishka. The free-thinking Ishka is sympathetic, but clearly uneasy over his decision that he will be living with her for an unspecified period of time. That's probably every parent's nightmare.
Yeah, really?
I'm just going to be staying for a while. Don't know how long.
Just till I get my feet on the ground.
That was 5 years ago.
Those are the worst 5 years of my life.
I need to find myself. Quark soon learns the reason behind her trepidation when he enters his old bedroom and he finds Grand Nagus Zek, the Ferengi leader, hiding in the closet. It turns out that Ishgar and Zek are in love. Back on Deep Space Nine, Leda and Rom decide to get married and begin to discuss their marriage details, with Rom agreeing to wear a Bajoran earring, but Leda refusing to sign a Ferengi document that says she will give up all claim to money and properties. Zek demands that Quark keep their affair secret, and Quark agrees, thrilled that his mother is now the beloved of the most powerful man on his home world. But when Quark hints that he would like Zek to reinstate his revoked business license, Zek refuses, reminding Quark that it is up to the FCA. Quark returns to his room, where Liquidator Brunt, the FC agent who revoked his license, confronts him. Brunt offers to give Quark a new business license if he breaks up Zek and Ishka. Quark agrees, and soon places doubts in Zek's head about Ishka's motives. The plan works. His mother is left heartbroken. Quark feigns sympathy, then contacts Brunt, who keeps his word and gives him the business license. Zek offers Quark the position of first clerk. Quark happily accepts, then discovers the Nagus is not the profit-making whiz he once was. By day's end, the Ferengi market has experienced a drastic slide to the Nagus' failing memory. A stunning Quark returns home, where Ishka reveals that she has been helping Zek. Quark realizes that his mother was more than Zek's lover. She was the power behind the throne. Ishka in turn realizes that Quark turned Zek against her and may have destroyed the Ferengi economy in the process. Quark encounters Brunt, reveals that the entire plan was a setup designed to help him become the new Grand Nagus. Quark is free to return to Deep Space Nine, but feels still guilty over what he has inadvertently done. The next day, Quark saves Zek by supplying him with enough brilliant advice to turn around the economic situation, but then reveals that the advice actually came from Ishka. After Quark admits to breaking them up, Zek and Ishka happily reunite, and it felt so good.
Nah, he stole my joke.
I'm sorry.
Steal my jokes, man. That's all I got.
I can't believe you'd kill me over a field of rocks. That's all I got. I'm trying to remember. I had a comment, and it lost. It got lost in the joke. I liked this episode, and it's surprising because it kind of went against what I thought last time going in, that I wanted more of the Dominion stuff, and we couldn't be really further from the Dominion stuff in this episode, and yet I really enjoyed watching it. I think I was just maybe after a heavy episode last time around, it was nice to have kind of a lighthearted one. So I enjoyed watching this one, and I always enjoy Wallace Shawn. He cracks me up.
It doesn't even matter the role anymore. It's just he shows up, you're happy.
Pretty much, yeah.
And the running gag of everyone just appearing in Quark's closet was funny.
Especially Tiny Ron.
Yeah. It's all right. It's a bit cartoony. I like the Leta Rom stuff far more than I give a damn about the Quark stuff, although I do love Wallace Shawn. I think it's one of those that's elevated by the actors. I really do. And I've already forgotten a lot of this. I only watched it on Thursday.
It's wow. The definition of average. It's a good, enjoyable episode, but like Andy said, it's forgettable. I've already forgotten it.
It's like macaroni and cheese.
Me as well, yeah.
Macaroni and cheese.
Yeah,
it's good when you eat it, but when you're done,
you're eating it, yeah.
Yeah.
No, when you're done, you want more. It's macaroni and cheese.
Well, I did want more because the next episode's better than this one.
Yeah, it is.
I haven't moved forward to the next episode yet.
Because then you move on to the New York pizza and you're like, mmm.
Yeah, I mean, because I didn't have anything at all on this one to say, honestly, I thought Leta and Rom are great. And I like Rom's little moment with Kira about giving the stuff away. And I love the thing with Martok being arrested. But I went on Memory Alpha, which I don't normally do before we talk about it, because I like to keep my thoughts. And it's interesting that the writer felt that this wasn't very good and too cartoony and didn't work, but the actors loved it.
Yeah.
So, it was very, very sitcom-y, but I enjoyed the scene when Leta was saying everything and then Kira was just totally contradicting her on everything she said. I think this. No, you don't. And he feels this. No, he doesn't. But he definitely wants this. No, he doesn't. I kind of like that.
And then it was very similar with the Chief and Rom, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I thought, you know, it played as a lighthearted, almost sitcom episode. You know, it served to get, you know, Quark back his bar and end that subplot, because that's kind of played out at this point. We don't need that anymore. You know, the comedy elements of it, I really enjoyed. The stuff with Rom, you know, to me that was just kind of extra, you know, because Rom and Leda, neither one of them is a key player on the series. They're just, you know, they're side players, and it was nice to give them a moment in the spotlight. Let them, you know, let them have a little fun and develop their characters. Overall, to me, you know, you say it's the definition of average. I would not argue with that position, but I think it's elevated by the performances and by just the likability of the characters. So it's a little better than average as far as I'm concerned. And I don't mean to rate it just yet, so I'll keep my star rating in my pocket. But I do think it was a little better than average just because this was just enjoyable to sit and watch. There's nothing deep going on. One of the aspects of it that I did kind of get a kick out of is the honor system of the Ferengi, and how it kind of, in its own way, reminds me of the honor system of the Klingons. You know, for them, doing things that are dishonorable to us is something they respect. You know, the Klingons, if you're second in command, they actually respect you killing your commanding officer and taking over the ship. You know, which to us is, you know, it's just pure mutiny. It's not, you know, nothing more to it than that. In Ferengi culture, they actually respect you lying and cheating to get more money. You know, I found that to just be kind of an enjoyable aspect of the whole episode. So to me, thinking of it from that perspective and the contrast when, you know, when we're dealing with the whole Ferengi main plot and then a little minor subplot of Martok and what he does and how it is fitting in the Klingon culture. He threw an officer off the promenade for disrespecting him or for promenade. Failing to promenade around the floor. But he threw him off the deck for not listening to an order or something, and Worf is, you know, they're talking about it, and Worf is like, what? Of course he did that. You know, I like the clash of cultures when it comes up.
Speaking of go ahead. I'm sorry.
But I'm just saying, I thought that was kind of played out here, and I do think we did have a little contrast with that, or a little symmetry with that, with the Klingons and the Ferengis, and that kind of brought that to mind to me, that their cultures are not as different as you'd think. You know, one is based on profit and one is based on war, but as far as the principles that they go by in those bases, I think there's, you know, a lot of similarity that I never would have seen.
When you talk about clash of cultures, Jadzia was kind of out of character in this episode. It was like she was prodding Rom. Well, you know, most Ferengis wouldn't do that. It felt very, a little forced, specifically because it's Jadzia.
Yeah, if anyone's open to other cultures and other experiences, it's Jadzia.
Mm-hmm. And it just seemed like, it felt like she was doing it on purpose, which, I mean, in plot-wise, yes, she was, but it was something where she would probably know better than to say those comments.
Yeah, you
know?
Maybe she was the wrong character for them to use to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It should have been Bashir.
Yeah, Bashir would have been perfect, because he's not good at picking, you know, he's not good at reading the room a lot of times.
You know, I don't think you'd even get an episode like this today, because the kind of poking fun at Alzheimer's disease, you know, particularly in the leader of a country, I just think they couldn't do that today.
You sure about that, Dave? You sure that wouldn't go over well never mind, I'll just stop right there.
Let me rephrase it. I couldn't see it being a character on, say, Star Trek doing it.
Mm.
On another program, say, oh, I don't know, Saturday Night Live, I could see them doing it very easily.
Well, go ahead.
I think if Star Trek did it today, it would have been a much more serious thing. Sort of like when Sarek was losing his marbles, so to speak.
But they didn't treat that as a comical thing. To be fair, they didn't really treat it comical in this episode either, because you could see that Quark was kind of mortified by it. I don't think they made light of it, but they did use it as a plot point. They used it as something that Brunt was taking advantage of, and Moogie was trying to help, you know, hide.
I'm sorry.
You know, certainly Paul, Brunt Paul. Is you, what?
Brunt FCA.
Yes, thank you. You know, Brunt is a detestable character to begin with, so it's fine to show him that way because you'd already you already dislike him in a likable way. You know, it's like I get a kick out of Jeffrey Combs' performance in the part, but he's meant to be disliked, and you know the fact that he would take advantage of someone's failing memory is not out of character at all for him, and it's also I didn't think it was handled all that, unsympathetically. I think it was done reasonably well, so I do think you could do it this time. You could still do it, rather. If it was made to be, the butt of a joke, I think that would be maybe a problem. But it wasn't, really.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking because it was just literally 3 years after President Reagan announced that he had Alzheimer's disease.
Oh, yeah. And that was in office, 94. Yeah. Yeah, he was made fun of for not remembering where he was on a specific date at a specific time. So, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, but I don't even remember where I am on a specific date at a specific time.
Most people don't. That's why.
That's normal for us, though.
Because we're old.
That was the implication.
Except for Dave.
Wait, which Dave?
Who are you people?
Yeah, there you go.
Why are we here? What are we doing?
So one of the reasons they did this episode, I was reading in the companion, was Star Trek's not known for being light and comical. It's got its exceptions, but they wanted to do a really good comedy episode, and I think they did, for the most part. And Armin Shimerman, man, I don't know where that energy was coming from, but he was on another level in this episode. Do this little dance before he goes out the door.
Well, I think he was happy to have an episode really mostly to himself. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine he was able to pump up his energy level for that.
Just think, if this had aired in the 70s, we would have gotten a Saturday morning kids cartoon, Brunt FCA.
And I would watch that.
I would watch that. I think that would be brilliant. But evidently, we don't have a lot to talk about this episode.
Well, we could do some behind the scenes. We had a change of Ishka.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, it's a new actress, isn't it? Yeah. Honestly, I didn't notice.
Really?
It was virtually unnoticeable, I thought.
For the most part. I thought this actress showed the fact that she wasn't an older actress a little bit more than the previous.
She was actually younger than Armin Shimerman.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she's playing his mother, which is kind of ew. Yeah.
It's like Sean Connery with Harrison Ford, isn't it?
Well, that's similar. If you watch, and I know you're a big Tom Selleck guy, if you're a Blue Bloods fan, what's his name? Len Cario, who plays Tom Selleck's father, is, I think, 7 years older than him.
Yeah.
Wow. He was a prolific 7-year-old.
Back when men were men.
God, yeah.
Well, they were the ripest.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Wasn't Sally Field around the same age as Tom Hanks? Or isn't she? When she played his mother in Forrest Gump, they're only a few years apart.
I think she's a little older than him. I maybe not old enough to be his mother. I don't know, but I'm pretty confident she's a little bit older than him. There was a little geek commentary in this episode.
Leave him in the package?
Yeah, about his action figures.
Oh, his Marauder Max, actually. Was it Marauder Max?
It was, oh man, I wish I'd kept these because I meant to have the companion nearby because they all have names.
Like,
all
right.
One is something the loser, one is the spends a lot. I mean, yeah, these action figures are actually kind of exciting.
It was Marauder Mo.
Right. Yeah.
Did they never release these as action figures?
No.
They should.
Yeah, they should have done.
It says, just looking to Memory Alpha, the Marauder Mo action figures are redressed Super Patriot figures from the McFarlane Spawn action figure line of the mid-90s. Two of the action figures hold an energy whip made from pipe cleaners, seen in TNG, The Last Outpost, and ENT Acquisition.
Right, yeah, there's a picture of them on Memory Alpha as well. If you blow it up, you can clearly see that they're pipe cleaners. Brilliant.
Yeah, that's great.
And apparently that they're worth more if you leave them in the package was directed at Ira Stephen Bear, who was very anal retentive about his toys.
And who of us isn't anal retentive about our toys?
I say take them out of the package and enjoy them.
Yeah. I do that, but I still don't want people touching them. I enjoy them means look at them on the shelf. It doesn't mean take them down and play with them.
Mine.
Mine?
Mine?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What?
Which one? The mine or the toys?
The toys.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
They're okay, as long as you know where mine comes from.
Yeah. David Pascarella doesn't have toys. He has collectibles.
No. That's right. There you go.
I'm constantly having to make that correction. Did you want to stop in the store and get some toys? They're not toys. They're action figures.
I just wanted to touch base again on who played Moogie. Did you know that was Don Adams' daughter?
Yes.
I did not.
Yeah.
Who's John Adams?
Get smart.
Barney Fife.
Oh, right. So Inspector Gadget.
Even better, Tennessee Tuxedo.
Inspector Gadget, you mean?
Yes. Yeah. Inspector Gadget.
No, I mean Tennessee Tuxedo.
I know Tennessee Tuxedo. That's my Chumley.
I wonder how many people know Agent Smart, Maxwell Smart, from the Scooby-Doo movies.
Oh, I hope no one.
That's your connection. Oh, okay. That might have been my first exposure, but that's cool.
Come on,
I didn't buy that much.
I mean, I learned Nick at Night, but
Get Smart was Mel Brooks and Buck Henry. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you get better than that?
Oh, the sad thing is that his daughter passed away at age 46.
What?
Oh. Yeah, she of lung cancer, and she wasn't even a smoker.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
It was another episode directed by an actor. René Auberjonois directed this one.
It was like his sixth one at this point.
Yeah.
I thought he did fine with the directing. The thing is, I know the creators didn't like it. I think it's fine. It's a standalone episode. After a heavy episode, it's comic relief, and we're going to get into some heavy episodes coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I didn't hate this. I think I've given the impression that I don't like it over much. I thought it was fine. Yeah, it was fine. It's like Bill said, it's McDonald's. It's a McDonald's hamburger. You know exactly what you're going to get from the minute that you get in a Ferengi comedy episode.
I said mac and cheese.
Well, mac and cheese was a TV show that Joey Tribbiani was in. Nobody cares.
I understand that reference. He had a robot.
Why did you hate this episode, Andy?
For the 44 minutes I was watching it, I thought it was fine. It was entertaining. I enjoyed it. But like I just said, I'd forgotten everything about this one by the time we sat to record. Even now, I'm having to scroll through Memory Alpha to try and remind myself what happened in it. It's no piece of the action, is what I'm saying.
Oh, good point. Or Trouble with Tribbles.
Trouble with Tribbles is too broad for me, man. I like it, don't get me wrong. My problem with it, everyone seems to think that's what Star Trek's like all the time.
Ooh.
And it isn't.
That is a big damaging part of that.
I much prefer a piece of the action which only becomes comedic by accident, essentially. I still think, and bits of By Any Other Name are funnier to me than Tribbles.
Remember the book, the gangster book in A Piece of the Action?
Oh, yeah, Chicago Gangsters of the 20s.
Yep, and they were talking about it being published in 1999, I believe.
Did it come out?
That's what you read my mind, because I remember watching it in the early 90s thinking, I wonder if they're going to release that book as a tie-in, but they didn't.
I'm still waiting for Khan to take up two-thirds of the planet.
How do we know he already has it?
that would explain a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't dislike this one, but the fact that I've got very little to say about it, I think sums it up.
Trump pulls off the mask and he's Ricardo Montalban.
Rich Corinthian leather.
It's huge.
All right, so do we
this
do
Blaine? Is Trump Plaza 5.
Are we doing Blaine or rating?
Rating.
Rating.
And our special guest will go first.
I gave it three bars of gold-pressed latinum. It was entertaining, it was all right, but it wasn't a major accomplishment, in my opinion.
I am in agreement with that assessment. I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was, it wasn't one that's really going to, like, stick with me, but I did find it amusing. I found it entertaining. I never felt like, oh, I want to turn this off, you know, that or that it was a slog to get through at all. I found it, you know, very lighthearted, entertaining. To me, I'm going to say better than average because it was entertaining, and I'm going to go 3.5 on it.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3. I'm with David. I enjoyed it whilst I was watching it, but beyond that, I don't know that it's one I'd revisit. It does pass the Spataro flick test. You know, if I'm strolling through and this is on, I'd probably leave it on because it is a charming, innocuous episode. I would have gone 2.5, but I think the actors save it from being resolutely average.
I'm actually going to agree with you. I had it at 2.5 because it was. I felt it was a definition of average. But Wallace Shawn and Jeffrey Combs and definitely Armin Shimerman. Yeah, I'll bring it up to a 3.
Yeah, I'll go with a 3 because it'll be 3 tiny Rons in the closet because nobody wants 2.5 tiny Rons in the closet because then it would be like 2 tiny Rons and a quark. And that's just weird.
So I'm the outlier at 3.5. Dramatic difference between our opinions.
You're the outlier that goes up instead of down.
Yes, yes. I am not Dr. No.
He's Captain Positivity.
That's me. So that's what we say, but what does Blaine say?
I have no idea. Oh, wait, I got to have a song.
Blaine says,
"Oh, we got to do a
Don't
Frank
let me down. Take a sad show and make it better." Is that better?
Ferengi. I don't know where to go, but it just seemed to fit right there.
Ferengina loves women in clothes, and we will say Moogie's our savior, 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 savior. Na, 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 na. Na, 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 na. Fuck it out.
Hey, Rom.
Rom, 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 Rom.
That's a deep cut Beatles gag. If anyone gets that, I will buy you a drink.
What part?
The fucking elf bit at the end.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right. That is deep.
Excuse me, Mr. Lawyer. Has Andy exceeded his contract and now stepped into my contract zone on the Blaine song? No, not singing, but on the Blaine song.
Well, I have
never signed anything.
I think.
Wait a minute.
The contract
you're the guy
allows
that,
you.
Again, it's not in my contract. So how could you not sign anything?
I'm pretty sure the show bylaws provide that Bill has 30 seconds to provide a song, and if he does not, Andy is free to step in.
But I didn't even. Oh,
Did you time that?
That is my favorite argument you have ever done. But I...
it was like 2 seconds.
Pictures of Spider-Man!
I'm chopping out a cigar over here.
So,
Ben, give us your song.
No.
Now you don't get a song.
You called the bluff. You called the bluff.
I can just see his sulky little face as he goes, "No, I'm not doing a song now. Taking my ties and I'm taking my Marauder and Mo action figures and I'm going home."
He's holding his breath right now. So all of that, Blaine says, "Hi guys, another comedic Ferengi episode, but this time it's not the second to last of the season. I wonder what's coming. Wallace Shawn is always welcome as Zek, though I do miss Andrea Romano as Ishka. It's not that Cecily Adams didn't do the job well and wouldn't have been welcome had she played the role from the start, but Andrea Romano is so distinctive and unmistakable in the role that any recasting of her character stands out like a sore thumb."
Not according to Paul.
Not to me. I didn't even notice.
I didn't notice.
Jeffrey Combs is welcome too, be it as Brunt or Wayun. I also like Brunt's political scheming, and that Quark clearly is quite intelligent, even if he doesn't often find himself in a position to show that. Blaine. Yeah, I liked how Quark had to kind of, you know, manipulate things behind the scenes. I liked when he was particular when he was manipulating Zek with, you know, "Oh, if the rumors are true," you know, all of that stuff, and Zek's listening to him. Although it does kind of go against Zek's memory failure, because you think he would kind of lose everything that Quark is telling him, but you know, then maybe that would make it too deep. Anyways, I liked it. I don't care if you guys didn't like it and you suck.
We did say we didn't like it.
Oh, 3. We're gonna give it a 3.
3 is better than average.
Yeah,
3 is a magic number, you know.
Thanks,
you
guys, Dave.
You guys suck. It's the only thing that saves this is Andy's song.
Okay. All right, we're gonna go there. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Can I just say as well that this is the second time in this recording that Bill's broke my ribs and made me cry?
That's because I hug you too hard.
No, but the big manly hugs.
We have Pack-Lid Bill back again.
Like the big abominable snow Bill. I love him, and he's my Andy, and I love him, and I hug him, and I'll never let him go.
Like the Bumble, Bum Bill.
Bum Bill's bounce.
Do we have any emails?
Yes, we do.
Oh, okay.
We have 3 pieces of email. 2 of them are directed to particular episodes. So I would say we could read the middle one, which is talking about a previous episode. Somebody want to take that?
Bill.
I've not got the email open, so Bill can do it.
Okay. And it is from, it says Freudian slip is the subject line, and it is from Melanie?
From Matt E.
Yeah, I know. It says Matt E. So, but the email, well, I won't read the email. So the actual address. So anyway, It says, just listen to the episode for 501 Apocalypse as I catch up to the most current release, and I heard something that made me laugh quite a lot. Dr. Bill of DeMar, he's like the emo, if you could get an emo, Cardassian, there you are. Jeez, man, with his comments all the time, blah, 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 shut up. It's like a teenager back there. Dr. Bill reading a synopsis, see above. I kid, keep up the excellent work. I'll be listening, Matt E.
So you broke Matt E. up.
Did you break his rib and make him cry?
Yeah, much like Andy.
DeMar the Emo Cardassian. Yeah, he is.
That sounds like a song in the making. DeMar the Emo Cardassian lived
his gold ducat. He did everything he asked him to, and then he went and
got
himself shot. He killed.
Well, actually, he got what's her name? Shot. Yeah.
DeMar the Emo Cardassian had a fake personality, and everywhere he went he'd drive us all mad with glee. Then one foggy Ferengi night, DeMar came to say, lost prophets have broken up, and now I've lost my way.
Is Andy the most prolific songwriter we know? Has he replaced Bill?
This is just making it up as I go. I don't know.
I know.
When are we doing our album, Bill?
Oh, it's like a double album now.
So what are we doing next time?
Next time, our new episode of Listen to the Prophets. It's time for Soldiers of the Empire.
When Klingon honor falls to disgrace,
you are a coward.
Will Worf turn on his own commander? On the next Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Pata!
Kapla! Glory to your house!
Perhaps today is a good day to watch an episode.
Where is the bathroom?
Listen to the Prophets, a Deep Space Nine podcast, is a Two True Freaks presentation. It is hosted by Andrew Leyland and Paul Spataro. The music and sound clips used in the show are copyright CBS and Paramount Entertainment. If you like to buy stuff from Amazon, and who doesn't, why not drop by the twotruefreaks.com website, where if you click the little link that we have there, it will take you straight through that site, and whilst it won't cost you any extra, we'll put a few shekels in our tip jar, which helps create content like this. We very much hope you enjoyed listening to The Prophets. Every episode is dedicated to the memory of our pal, Sean Engel.
All right, so we'll see you all next week, time.
I'd like to thank David Pascarella for coming on.
David Pascarella, we're doing this.
Maybe we could do this actually while we don't all talk at the same time.
Okay.
Now none of us will talk.
Yeah.
Is this where I talk, or do you talk?
Well, guys, thanks for having me. I was really